Hey there, I'm Amanda, a Southern mama with big city sensibilities. I'm the girl that took a daydream and built a profitable virtual assistant business all in the middle of a global pandemic. Now, I work from home alongside some of the biggest bloggers and influencers while running a six-figure online business. I'm taking you along for the ride as we dive into business, marketing, strategy, and real life as a female entrepreneur. I'm all about simple, easy, actionable steps that get real results. This podcast is for the dreamers, the doers, and the go-getters. So let's kick imposter syndrome together and pull back the curtain on how to actually make money online. Get ready as we dig in, do the work, and tackle those big dreams I know you've been dreaming up. This is the Bold Business Podcast. Maddie, welcome to the Bold Business Podcast. I'm so excited to chat with you today. I've already introduced you to our audience, but tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got started.
Hi. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here and to chat with you. So I am Maddie, and I am a digital designer. So I'm actually located just north of Toronto, Ontario. I'm not sure if most people here are from the United States, but it's a pretty big city. So I think most people know Toronto. But I love working with female entrepreneurs, mainly on up-leveling the digital side of their business. So I love working on website design, branding, social media, even email design, everything that you can imagine when it comes to creating a brand in the digital world, which has become very important now. And I've been running my business full-time for about 2 years now. And honestly, my favorite part of it is learning from all the amazing entrepreneurs that I get to work with in all the different industries that they come from.
That is amazing. The 2 year mark. Oh my gosh. I feel like that's like the coveted mark that everybody wants to hit. They're like, if I can just make it through the first 2 years, I'll be good. I'm so excited to chat with you today. And the cool thing about Maddie, you guys may not know, is Maddie and I have worked together on a few design features for the Virtual Assistant Studio. And Maddie was the one who designed our podcast cover for the Bold Business Podcast. Literally, I sent her a message and I told her, I'm like, I'm going to sound like a crazy person, but I stalked you online and I found your information and I have to work together because your designs are beautiful. I had seen a few designs that she did. And I'm like, I need to figure out who did this because I was trying to DIY things. And I told her, I'm like, you're going to laugh at what I'm about to send you because it's embarrassing. And I recognize that I need help, which is why I'm so excited to chat today because Maddie is just a wealth of expertise when it comes to design, just the digital online space in general. So tell me a little bit about how you even got into starting your business 2 years ago and really what that journey has looked like and how you've evolved as a person, entrepreneur, and a business.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for all the kind words. It was awesome to work on those projects. So it's so awesome to be now on the podcast that we created together. You did all the hard work. I just did the front of the design part, but
you get to do the fun stuff.
Yeah. I get to add the cherry on top. But yeah, basically growing up, I was always an artsy kid and I loved painting. I loved crafting and creating things, but I never saw myself as an entrepreneur. I never saw myself going into graphic design really for very long. I always just played with it. I learned how to use some Adobe programs in high school and learned a bit more about web design in university, but I actually went to school for media broadcasting. So I thought I'd go into either film or TV. I really liked the creative side of, like film production. But in learning that, I also got to touch in that program on web design. And that's where I just constantly kept feeling myself drawn to. And because I had some skills from growing up, there were a few opportunities outside of school while I'm always trying to make a little extra money, just meet some new people. I ended up taking on my first kind of graphic design job, if you will, where I was basically just helping out an entrepreneur who was a few years ahead of me and was creating her own business where she needed help with website design, even a bunch of print design for events events she would host. And she was the first person who ever really hired me. And it was not really an intentional thing that I thought this is what I want to do forever or even really as a career. It was just something I knew I really liked. And I was gaining a lot of skills doing it. And then when I graduated from university, the first job I got was at a digital agency type of business where it was really high-end website design, app design, just digital experiences with really talented designers and developers. And so I was actually a coordinator there. I wasn't in a design role, but I got to see what it means to create these really massive projects. And to be honest, I was actually really intimidated by the incredible skill of the designers I was working with. And so the hobby and the kind of skill set that I was building, I actually kind of pushed to the side for a couple of years out of school because I just felt a little bit discouraged, to be honest, and just so in awe of what people at the top of their game were doing that it felt like I don't have to worry about pursuing that now. Well, maybe that'll just be something I like doing on the side. But after a couple of years of working there, I actually moved on to another full-time job. Again, nothing to do with design. But as I was working at the new job, I also realized there wasn't another position that I was working towards that I really wanted to continue on to. There wasn't like a stepping stone that I wanted to move to next in that company. And because I got space from that like really intense design world at my previous job, I actually started taking on clients again on the side. And while I was doing that, I was realizing I was getting way more lit up by those clients I was working with in the early mornings and late at night and on weekends. It was kind of all I thought about at my full-time job at the same time. It was just always what I looked forward to. And slowly I started kind of thinking, maybe I would be able to be an entrepreneur. Maybe I would be able to run my own business. And like, how cool would it be to work with these people and on these projects that make me so excited full-time? And I kind of started thinking that through and stewing on that idea for about a year or so before I finally said, if I don't try this now, I don't know when I will. And I think I'll always wonder if I could do it. And so it was in November 2019 that I left that full-time job to pursue this business full-time. And kind of, I had a few clients that I knew would stick around, but it was honestly just trust that if I was able to make the connections I had so far, that I'd be able to make more. And a lot of people didn't necessarily get it because I wasn't in a design job at the time. But I really just put a lot of trust in what I had done and just that I wasn't so worried on being this perfect picture of success. All I really wanted to know was what it felt like and if I could do it. And that's what led me to start my business. And in 2 years, I feel like we'll talk more about it probably through the whole conversation. But in 2 years, things have shifted a lot. And the way that I kind of take on clients, the type of projects I take on has kind of, I've refined all of that. And now I've definitely got a clearer picture on who I really like to work with and who I can really help and what my best skills are in helping them.
Well, I just want to commend you. I think that is so brave of you to even take the leap and leave your 9-to-5 job that had nothing to do with design and say, I'm going to go out on my own and I'm going to trust that this is going to work. And of course, you had clients already, but there's always, I feel like, that voice in the back of our head that's like, is this going to work? Like, am I going to be able to sustain this? Am I going to be able to have a successful business? And here you are 2 years later, and you do. And I think it's just such a testament to who you are as a person and your skill set, but also having that really positive mindset around the fact that you're like, I trust my skills and my ability and that things are going to work out. So tell me a little bit about what it was like when you left your job. I know you mentioned people were kind of hesitant and they were probably a little bit afraid for you. Like, has she lost it? Like, is she going a little crazy? Tell me what that transition was like.
Exactly. It's so, it's kind of like that fear that most people, if they're thinking about this, like if they have this on their mind now, or if they just did it and they're kind of in the middle of it, I think, that's probably one of the more prominent things is what other people will say, or like, how do you pitch yourself? How do you make this idea sound good? And it was something that I had to hype myself up for. Like I knew myself well enough to know if someone starts asking me questions about, oh, so like, what kind of projects do you want to work on? Like I started going through all those things that I thought people would probably ask me about. And because I had that question going through my mind, I'm not the type of person that, can be extremely like outspoken about something or overly confident about something unless I truly, truly am. The act confident side of things is a skill that I've had to really work on in order to make sure that I can speak more confidently about something before I actually am there. I think you kind of have to do that a little bit in the beginning, but preparing myself for that was helpful. Like, because I knew when that time was coming that there would be people asking those questions, just hyping myself up beforehand to know either a few of the answers, but also knowing I don't need to answer to anyone else either. And a lot of people, the people that I truly trust that were close to me, probably were asking questions for very valid reasons too. And I tried to also listen to those. So I didn't want to ignore someone who might actually have some good advice for me when I'm going and leaving all the perks of a 9-to-5. I actually did really want to listen to what it is that they might have been saying or asking or implying that I need to think about, because I think that stuff is helpful too. I didn't want to be completely blind. But really just understanding, like, what is my reason for doing this and what is really pushing me? Why do I feel like I have a bit of proof of concept here in order to do it? And as long as I felt confident enough in that answer, then I was ready to kind of face anyone who might be thinking differently. And then I truly only took in the opinions of people that I really either look up to, trust, or love. And then everyone else, I kind of was like, oh yeah, great. Thanks for your feedback. I agree to disagree, but there was never anyone who was telling me, don't do this. But it was scary, especially to a former employer, to tell them that that was the step I was taking. But practicing that confidence was really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you sort of took what people said with a grain of salt, but you also had your ears open while being confident enough to take the leap on your own. I know so many of our listeners are at that beginning stages of entrepreneurship, whether they're aspiring to own their own online business or they're just getting started and maybe have a few clients under their belt. What's your best advice that you can give someone that might be starting out and is still sort of like DIYing things?
So I think everyone's experience, I'm going to start with a bit of a like overarching thought that I've had in general about when you're in the beginning or when you're DIYing and just how prevalent social media is right now. Be careful with who you're taking in information from, because I find on social, there's a lot of people who will push against the DIY beginning or push for if you're following designers or if you're following people that you look up to that you maybe want to hire one day. A lot of people will push for not DIYing or not trying things out at the beginning in the sense that you need to really invest in the next level now, and why like maybe the perfect aesthetic or the perfect logo is something you should have right from the start. But I like to encourage people to really follow their gut. And something that I liked doing from the start was starting small, taking small and simple steps so that you can test things as you go. So DIYing, I just don't think is something to look down upon, because it can really help you get moving quickly. I think when you're at the beginning, the most important thing for your business is to be really good at what you do. And obviously, to market yourself, there's a side of this that is you've got to have something to post on social media, or you want to have a place for people to go, like a website to contact you or to see your work. But those things, I've seen it, I've done it myself, those things aren't absolutely necessary. Where having a good business in the grand scheme of things, like the real heart of what you do, if that's really good, that is the ultimate thing you're falling on. And so I think DIYing is great if you're coming up with maybe just a word, like typing out your logo as just the words in a font that resonates with you at the beginning. If that's enough to get you moving so that you can, if you're a hairdresser or a makeup artist or a fashion designer or anything like that, where you're really just trying to refine your skills, focus on those more than anything. And then taking small steps with the branding side of things, I really encourage personally, the smaller so that you can change as you need to, the better. Because if you invest fully in something before you have a real vision and a real experience working with clients and knowing who it is that you serve and can you serve them well, that's where I feel like the moving past the DIY stage is where you need to be. So there's a good chance if you're feeling the urge that you need to be moving to the next level when you don't quite feel ready yet, there's actually a good chance that the testing you're doing right now is actually really good and really important. And maybe the things you see on social media aren't as important as they make themselves seem.
Yeah. Okay. You touched on so many great points. And I love that, first of all, you're giving people permission to DIY. I know I think about myself in those early days, and I didn't always have a big budget to invest in things like branding or design. And I think back and I'm glad that I almost waited, because to your point, you're still figuring out who your ideal customer is. And I feel like it gives you that grace to be able to, like you said, test things out, see what's working, and see what resonates with your audience. Because who you're serving in the beginning, I'm sure you can attest to this too, is not always who you're going to be serving a year or 2 years down the road. And I feel like you almost have to go through like those beginning stages to figure out who it is that you even want to be able to support, especially if you're in the service industry, whether you're in, you know, being a virtual assistant, or you're a social media, or you're, like you said, a hairdresser, whatever that looks like, understanding who it is you're serving before you go to invest, I think is so important. Another thing that you touched on is just really simple and clean design. Tell me a little bit more about how somebody can go about like DIYing it without it look like DIYing it, if that makes sense.
For sure. And there's a fine line. I think there's so many amazing resources out there now that there's a million ways to really start DIYing and not going from scratch. But there's also, I just want to acknowledge that visual things, website, even tech, a logo, that doesn't come easily to everyone. So I really like to say, even though there are so many accessible options like templates and software that make these things accessible now to us, I don't like people going into it assuming that it's going to be easy, because that usually ends up having people feel a little discouraged. So accessible doesn't mean easy, but you can start and you can take things step by step. And I think that's the most important. So really, even though you're going into something visual, so you're looking at colors, you're looking at fonts, really coming back to, or at least starting with, what your goal is. So if you're a virtual assistant, what are the main things that, for a website, for example, if you're DIYing it, what are the main things that you need to accomplish with that? Do you need to show exactly what your services are? Do you need to have a contact form? And do you need to feature maybe other clients? Maybe you don't have other clients yet. Maybe it's just simply a photo of you, your exact services, and then a contact form. Really boiling it down to what exactly you want to communicate quickly and clearly to your clients. And then gathering inspiration is great of other websites or of other virtual assistants out there. But don't let yourself get bogged down by all of the things that they're doing, because they may be much further ahead than you. They have a very different approach. They're a different business, a different person. So take the pieces that you want to be specifically inspired by, but really remember the starting point is what will bring you, like, move you forward. So if that's having people reach out to you through that contact form and knowing who you are because you have a website link to send them, those are the main things, and focus on those, because then you can look at a platform like Showit or like Squarespace, and you can look at templates. Both of those have free options. The actual platform itself will cost money to subscribe to, but there are free template options that could give you that one pager that you need. And so I think when you're in that route, DIY can get so overwhelming. And especially if you're working on your own brand, that's something that people, I think, often feel discouraged about, is because they can't make decisions about their own brand. But just acknowledging that that is actually quite hard, because you have so many ideas in your head and so many ways you can picture things going, that it can be really hard to narrow it down. So again, keep bringing yourself back to your main goals, and also understand that things will shift over time. So focus on those main goals now, put together those basic things that will showcase exactly what you want to showcase, and then worry about the fluff and the growth and the additional beautiful things that you can either learn how to do yourself or eventually hire somebody to do. Leave that for down the road, because there's a good chance, even once you get that first website up or that first DIY logo together, that you're going to want to shift anyway. So even if you did invest in a designer early on, for some people it's great. That ends up carrying them for a long time. But for some people, they'll realize, oh, I actually do this different thing now better, or I have a different vibe than I thought I would, and now I want to change all of this. And they've already done a lot of the work. And so that's just something good to know, that you're so agile when you do things on your own, that to focus on those things that will get you the results quickly let the rest fall away for now. And each day can be a focus on a different thing, and tackling those. They can seem small, but also feel very big and overwhelming, like a website. If that's not something that you have done or do often, or that you honestly maybe really don't like. So be gentle with yourself. And then something too that's a good thing to remember is, often if you're early on in your career or in your business and you're still in that figuring it out mode and you don't have a huge budget yet or a bunch of other clients to showcase, there are also other people, other designers, other web specialists that are also in their early career. So there's a good chance, in just with chatting with your immediate community, that there might actually be someone out there who can help you and you can help each other without going directly to somebody who's extremely experienced and well-versed in their field. So there's kind of like that in the middle option that you can go to move yourself forward as well. That's kind of, if you're especially allergic to design or tech that you want someone's help, there's that person you can go to that can help you without it completely breaking the bank, or without it being such a time and money investment that you might regret it later.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you said finding people kind of in that same phase of wherever you're at in business, because there are other, I'm sure, designers who are just getting started as well, who have exceptional skills, who would love the experience. And like you said, may not cost, you know, $10,000 to build out an entire website for you, when in actuality, you probably don't need the $10,000 website. You probably just need one really great, well-designed page that's easy to navigate, that, to your point, can accomplish exactly what you're trying to accomplish in order to build your business, which in the beginning, it's all about building the business. It's like making a cake, you know, like you got to get the foundation solid so that you can build all the other layers on top of it. And then you frost it at the end. And I even kind of take that approach in our business too. And I love that you said giving yourself grace, because it is a process. I don't think design is ever really truly done. And maybe you can give me some insight in this too, but I feel like it's always evolving. And even a website, you can always add on more things. But at the beginning, all that's really necessary is, can somebody easily navigate your website? Is it clear and concise? And does it achieve the purpose that you're trying to achieve? So if you had like three elements that every website must have, what would those be?
That's a great question. So I think these will be kind of generic, in that everyone might have a way to take this, but I think these three elements make a really great site. So bare bones, a very clear statement of what you do. And I would suggest that that should be as short as possible, but a bit of explanation isn't bad either, but as clear as you can get it is the main focus. So when someone lands there, they should know exactly what you do in a way that they don't have to search for. So there's a lot of creative ways to do that, a lot of like different formats visually that you might want to do that. But early on, whether that's in your actual logo, if you have a subtitle that says your position, like what you do, or if that's a header that someone sees as soon as they land on your site, it just shouldn't be something they have to search for. That is the clearest kind of calling card to what someone is doing in their business. If they're confidently and clearly showcasing that, then when you land on that site, you can imagine, you already feel like you're taken care of as the viewer, like you've gotten your answer, your first answer, very easily. So that's a good sign. And that statement can also change. So you don't need to get caught up in like, oh, I'm not sure if this is precisely what I'm going to want forever. That's okay. That's why websites nowadays are so easy to update. Just have something that makes sense for now and that is clear now. And then you can kind of shift that as your business gets more defined and as you learn more about exactly what you present. So a very clear statement of what you do. And then next would be concise information about the products or services that you offer, along with the next step the person should take. So that could be one product, that could be one service, that could be three if you're starting. That could be a small amount or a handful of things. But if you can explain them clearly, so someone, as soon as they know what you do, they know now what you offer and they know what to do next. So all of those things are laid out very simply. And that's even, honestly, I would say the right way to do it. Don't make them hunt for it. They don't need to be clicking through this fancy user experience just yet. If that's something you want down the road, that's amazing and it can be really beautiful. But to do that right, you should probably have a designer guiding you, because there's a lot of nuance to that. So really just presenting it clearly. And then if your next step is right there, what would be a single problem that a user has with navigating your site? They know what you do, they know what you offer, and they know how to contact you or to book that thing. So that makes it really easy. And then if it's easy for the user to learn about you, it's easy for them to contact you and hopefully easy to book or purchase. And then the third thing that I'd say to kind of spice it up and really put the bow on the whole thing is professional photography is wonderful. I will say that with also a little caveat that obviously having a whole brand shoot can be an expensive thing to do, but it also is something that you can almost take a DIY approach to as well, where you find another photographer who maybe is in your community, who's a friend or a friend of a friend who's also trying to grow their business. And so you guys can do your first brand shoot together as kind of a collaboration. Maybe there's a trade of services, maybe there is a payment. That's another approach that already that person is going to be taking better photos than you would necessarily of yourself. And that really levels up a site without having to do any kind of complicated tech in the back end of a website. And there's also a really amazing range of stock imagery options out there now. There's so many websites like Unsplash or Pexels that they offer stock photography for free that's very stylized, that's got a mood to it, that's aesthetically pleasing, and it's not too rigid like old stock photography used to be. Or if you're willing to purchase a few really high quality stock photos from sites, those things can really help you up level the basics that you have. So when you have that foundation, then you really amp it up with some nice photos, and you'd be amazed how simple a very simple layout could look really good and really striking and really professional if you have those three things.
Oh my gosh, I feel like everybody needs to like hit pause and rewind and go grab a pencil and write those down, because those were so good. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm so excited. Okay. So I know you touched on a couple different things. Now, let's say somebody is listening to this and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. I'm starting to get a little overwhelmed. Let me take a pauser. What are some tips that you have for somebody that is trying to like break through that overwhelmed phase? And it's like, okay, this seems like a lot. Like, where do I even start?
For sure. And I know when you start getting into all these things, even though I'm saying simple, the more we chat, the more it's like, this doesn't feel simple anymore. So keep boiling it back down to exactly what you need right now. So all these things are great to keep an ongoing list. I write everything down. Writing is how I process things. That could be on a list on my computer or on a piece of paper, but getting it out of my head is like my biggest thing for overwhelm. And so I think if you're able to categorize in a way that really helps you, so whatever is kind of your method of doing it, is write down the things that you know right now would help you. So if that's a simple website, focus on the simple website and put the other things that are feeling overwhelming to the side and write down those exact list of things. So if that is your first simple step, is get a Squarespace account. Second simple step is to write down the basic content. What would I tell someone if I were sitting in front of them? And then the next simple step is to have a small photography shoot with a friend. And those are the three things you can focus on, while the rest of it that you know you'll get to eventually is kind of on the side. And if you have it written down somewhere else, you don't feel like you've lost it. You don't feel like overwhelmed because you have to worry about these other things. Oh, I'm not doing these other things too. If you can really simplify and really focus on the things that'll make the most difference for you at the time, then as soon as those simple things are done, that's a big task off your list. And that starts reducing the overwhelm, where you can move to some of those other things. And even if I were to boil it down to, like, say you're literally starting from ground zero, you don't have a logo, you don't have any colors, maybe you just know your name, your business name, and maybe it's even your name. So that's what I did when I started. Just try looking for a font. Don't worry about everything else. Just try looking for a font. Browse through a few different websites that you maybe know of. There's several out there. And just try typing it in. See how those fonts look, how they make you feel. And then when you get that feeling of, this font makes me feel this way, do I want my customers to feel this way? Yes or no. And keep it as simple as that until you find something that you feel matches how you want your customers to feel. Then simply type out your business name in that font and you have a logo for now. Those types of things, starting with one color. How does this one color make you feel? Does it match with how you want your customers to feel? Move on. Like, as soon as you start getting those things under your belt, it'll build the confidence. The overwhelm will, over time, there will be moments of overwhelm, I'm sure, but keep boiling back down and make sure that it's not feeling overwhelmed because you're looking at what someone else is doing and you're jealous of them. Think back to yourself and what is overwhelming you about your current situation, and how can you kind of take little simple steps to get closer to where you want to be? And just, yeah, writing in a very literal sense, writing will help that, I find.
Oh, I love that so much. I love a good to-do list. I'm probably like the queen of to-do lists. I feel like there's like no greater joy than when you get to like scratch through something, whether that be like a physical piece of paper or like on your Google calendar when it's like, yes, I did complete that task. But I completely agree because I have talked about this before on the podcast. If you're trying to tackle something big, and especially in the early stages when you're just getting started and you're starting to feel like, okay, I'm ready. I want to build out a website, or I want to create social media templates that are cohesive. These are the things that I need to do, and writing them down step by step makes it feel so much less overwhelming because instead of feeling like, oh my gosh, like I have this big thing I need to tackle, it's like, okay, I'm just going to do this one thing that's right in front of me and not look at anything else. And then once I get that done, I can focus on the next thing on my list. So I love that advice. Okay, so I know that you have talked a lot about just simple, easy, actionable steps that will get real results, which I love. What are some ways that you've taken simple approaches in your own business that has helped you grow steadily and build momentum over these past 2 years?
That is a great question. I think looking back, something that I'm really glad I did and that I do suggest if anyone were to ask me, and if they were starting out, a friend or anyone, something I'd suggest they do too. And I kind of touched on it earlier, but being open, and that could mean in terms of what type of projects you take on, what type of clients you work with, what type of products you're creating. Being open is the thing I am most thankful for, because again, something I see all the time is an encouragement to niche down and an encouragement to set very strict boundaries or very clear outline of exactly what you do. And I do agree that is a great thing to do, but sometimes it takes time to get there, because when I was at the very beginning, I wasn't quite sure what I was the absolute best at. What was the best feeling for me every day? Who did I work best with? What was the best way to structure a project? What was the most financially profitable? I didn't know those things yet. So in order to gain momentum and to book the clients, just simply book, like, because when it really boils down to it, if you're running a business, you want to be able to make money. Really, in order to stay alive and to continue doing what you love to do, you have to be making money. And so you have to be making connections to book those clients. And so that's where the momentum, I feel anyway, from my perspective, really comes in, is if you're able to consistently book new projects. And so that doesn't necessarily mean taking on every single person that you meet or that you get an inquiry from. I also don't recommend that. But I do think that even though at the beginning you might not be positive about something, being open to trying it, and then kind of having the consistent process of reflecting on how that went, will be the best way to keep going. Because when you're starting simply, when you're choosing a simple logo for now that's just a word mark, when you're choosing a simple website for now that you're not spending $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 on, and you don't feel that weight over you, you have a simple website. You can pivot at any point that you need to. You can take it down and you won't feel guilty. If you land a really big project or client that you never thought you would get as early as you did, all of a sudden you have this new opportunity to then build even faster. And because you got that momentum through taking the opportunity to work with different types of people, that I find is the most motivating thing to keep building your confidence, to keep like sharing what you do. You get more courage and more bravery to take those next steps that might feel really scary in the beginning when you're able to get momentum. So I think being open, it really allows you to maybe end up doing something you didn't necessarily picture, but that does really fit all of those categories. It makes you feel really good. It is profitable, and it's a person that you like working with. And then you can structure it in a way that works for your life. If you are too focused on one thing at the beginning and it just keeps stumping you, there's a chance that maybe that's not actually the solution that your customers or clients are looking for. So you're not booking your clients and then you have no momentum. That's where the overwhelm comes back. So I think even if that momentum is small, you don't need to compare that to anybody else. Your success is your idea of success. It's not what the person beside you or the person you look up to is doing. If simply booking one client feels like the world of momentum, that is amazing, and run with it. And if you need to focus on that one person for a month before you're ready for your next one, I think just keeping that mindset will really help. And you'll be surprised at how much courage that can build once you start getting that simple momentum going and being open and reflecting on it.
Yeah, I love that you said reflecting on how you felt after you were open to something, because I think that that's something that a lot of people skip over. And I think that's really important in those beginning stages to be able to recognize, okay, did this feel in line with what my goals are for myself and my business? Did I enjoy even doing this? And then also asking yourself, like, how long did this take? And did this generate enough revenue? Because to your point, a business's lifeline is, well, making money. And we want to make sure that those things are all aligned, not only obviously just making money, but in line with building a business that you love, because that's like the whole reason that we go into entrepreneurship or building an online business, is because we want usually more joy and more freedom and more flexibility, and making sure that like those projects are actually in line with the reason that we started our business in the first place. And I feel like if you don't take that time to reflect, then sometimes like you're just going, 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 and then you're like a year in and you're like, wait, do I even like this business? So I think that is awesome advice. Okay, let's say somebody is listening to this and they are like, I am so inspired by Maddie, and I personally would love to build my own design business. What advice would you give somebody, or maybe just a few actionable steps that they could take in the beginning to sort of like get their business up and off the ground, or maybe even some scrappy ways that you approached your business in those early days that landed you your first client or two clients or something like that?
Totally. It can be scary. But honestly, the first thing, and this is coming from someone who I didn't like sharing what I did very much. I felt like if I wasn't amazing at it, I didn't want to tell people I did it. But a bit of hard truth, you kind of have to. It's okay to not be as amazing as you want to be when you start. And the only way to get there is by doing it. And I think something that anytime the virtual world or the reaching out over email or meeting people on social media or online, anytime that's feeling like too much, start with your immediate circle, because you're surrounded by family and friends and maybe coworkers or people at school. There's a connection somewhere to some type of business. It's probably much closer than you even think, that they might need help. And especially someone local, if they get to know you, offering to do different things for them, whether that be some social media designs or maybe trying a new menu design for a restaurant, or think of things that are approachable that you might be able to solve a problem for somebody really quite easily. And you could even practice doing these things yourself without even reaching out yet. Like if your confidence isn't there yet that you couldn't reach out to that business, but you wanted to say you know of a friend whose parent has a business and you know they could be doing this thing better design-wise, you could create that design yourself just as a practice. And that might give you enough kind of courage to then be like, hey, I actually want to show this to them or pitch this idea to them. And even once you start telling people that's what you're doing, like really early on, I sent out an email to my family and a few of my closest friends and said, I'm starting a graphic design business. I'm doing all types of projects. If any of you are looking for help, please reach out. And just putting that out there, both to people literally, and also I feel like just kind of having the confidence to open yourself up to that, will then start bringing in the questions. And they might be kind of funny businesses that you never thought you'd work with right off the bat, but that experience is really, really valuable. And then once you're there, start sharing those things in places that you could open up relationships with people you don't necessarily know yet. So Instagram is a great place to go, Pinterest, and be okay with sharing work before it feels 100% perfect. And I know anyone who's kind of a graphic designer or in the kind of visual design space will never feel like everything or anything is perfect. So you don't have to worry about that ever being the case. But at least you want to be proud of what you put out. So put the time, put the effort, but knowing that imperfect is still going to be really great to somebody else, that at least puts your stuff out there. Somebody knows. If it's someone who has no idea about graphic design at all, they're going to see that you're capable of this thing that they are completely unsure how to do. And that could start a conversation that simple. It might not be that they need to go and look through a really intense portfolio that you've put together and worked years and years on. Just them knowing that you have that skill and it being that much better than the skill they have, they'll put some trust in you. And then those quick connections you make, they just build and build. A lot of people I know nowadays do get a lot of new clients from Instagram, and that's partially how we came to be. But a lot, I'd say 90% of my clients are still referral based. So they're coming from other clients that I've worked with. And I really feel like they're really valuable clients too, because they are somebody that the person I've worked with and enjoyed working with also trusts and wants to pass along to me. So starting with those small immediate circle and just testing what you can do for them and offer for them. And just don't worry about it being perfect at the beginning. You'll get better over time. And then you can increase your prices to reflect that. So you've got to have somewhere to grow to.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that you were scrappy enough to literally send an email to your family and friends, because that seems like a bold move. Like, most people are afraid to even say what they do. I know, I remember like when I first started my business, the first time I told somebody what I did, I like whispered it and they were like, you know what? And they like couldn't hear me. And I'm like, I am a virtual assistant with like question mark at the end. And it was so funny. And eventually, you know, you build up the confidence to be able to tell people what you do, and you seamlessly work it into conversations and stuff. But I think that's such a beautiful starting point. And I also want to point out that Maddie made a really good point saying that 90% of her clients come from referrals, which means that she served her clients so well in the early days that they are raving about her to this day to more people who continue to come back over and over again. And we found that to be the case in our business too. I mean, I think social media is amazing. I love Instagram. I love all the places. But at the end of the day, most of our clients are actually referrals as well. And to your point, I think that those are the best clients because, well, most of the time they're in line with who you actually want to work with. But the best part is they want to work with you and they want your expertise and they want what you have to offer and they're happy to pay for it. And that's the best, right? Like, that's the dream. So I love that you touched on that. And I know that that's going to be so encouraging for somebody that's just starting out. Okay, so you spend literally all of your days inside of Canva and all these other tools, and you're creating things constantly. How do you stay creative, and what does that process look like for you?
Can be very blue light blinding.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Glasses, there's good glasses for that now, which is nice.
And they're very cute.
They are cute. I don't need glasses in real life, which I'm thankful for, but it makes me feel like I have another option. But yeah, no, I think because everything I do is on the computer, it's all digital, that when I'm really feeling like stumped, the best thing to do is to just go to a completely different medium. So if that's a magazine or a book, or I mean, right now I can't really go travel like I would love to, but like being in a different space physically is so helpful. So that maybe changing up your environment like right in the middle of the day isn't possible. But I just did this in the new year because I was feeling a little bit that way going to the store and getting a few magazines, like really well-designed, like coffee table books even, that really inspire you. And also going for like a completely different industry. So open your mind up. Don't worry about like, if it were me or someone like me, don't worry about website design or graphic design or branding. Think about interior design or fashion or even like cooking. If you start looking at a completely different industry, it can be refreshing as opposed to like more exhausting and more like head spinning of the same thing you see all the time. And then there will be different ways as a creative that you can kind of pull in inspiration from those things. And even there's articles about all these different people who are talented in these magazines who you can start reading about and get inspiration from their approach. So changing up the medium, changing up the industry. And then I also always feel way better by doing something physical. So completely outside of like what I would literally get for inspiration. If I can go for a walk or go to the gym, or maybe this is a great part of being your own boss is getting to work out in the middle of the day in my basement. It's nothing glamorous, but sometimes just like getting a good sweat happening and breathing deeper and focusing on something else, even really good music, can completely shift the way you were thinking about something. So if you're feeling kind of stuck, I'd encourage you to see how much of a break you can take, even if it's small, but just change up what you're doing. And then if you can move your body, I end up coming out with some sort of answer or idea that's way better than what I was kind of ruminating about before. If I'm able to go for a walk or get a workout in, I can usually come back and kind of solve things better and usually have some sort of like light bulb moment. Honestly, it's always a saving grace. So those are the main two things I like to do.
Oh my gosh, I love that. I'm the same way. I'll like do a workout at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon because I'm like feeling like that mental exhaustion where I'm like, I could really go for like an afternoon coffee. And I'm like, okay, I should do something that's better for my body. And I'll go get like a 20-minute workout in. And then I always feel like, you know, those natural endorphins kicking. And I'm like, all right, like, let's tackle the rest of this client it's work the for best. Today. Okay, so this is a question that was submitted by one of our listeners. So I wanted to give you a chance to answer it. But what design trends do you think are here to stay for this year?
So trends, first of all, I think are an interesting thing that I've kind of have my own perspective a little bit on them, where like trends, I think, inevitably change like all the time. Obviously, each year a trend shifts and then something you think is really cool this year, you're like, in a few years from now, why did I think that was cool before? But there are so many things that are really fun to play around with. I think there's a lot of playing with different typography right now, like mixing different font or typefaces together in the same word or the same sentence, or playing with movement. Or there's some things that actually kind of contradict each other, like either very calming neutral colors or really bright contrasting unexpected colors are really big trends right now. But what I think overarching in terms of trends, I like to actually look at the approach people are taking, or the overall, yeah, like kind of angle, as opposed to the literal design trend, because I think it's hard to really capture those and know which ones are going to stay or not, because it really just has to do with what the culture, what the people, what the companies, everyone ends up doing in terms of visual aesthetics. I think it's so hard to tell. But something I do think trend-wise that is just going to kind of continue is honestly how everything is very personality driven now, very authenticity driven. People care so much about the real thing nowadays, whether that's with big brands or personal brands that they follow. Aesthetically, they can be very different. They can have very different colors or moods, or they could be either super clean, or they could be maybe more collage style or like hand done DIY style. Even more DIY style is so prominent now, and that can actually be extremely effective. People can really connect with it. And this is kind of my own theory. I don't have proof behind it, but I do think that when somebody sees an ad or sees a piece of content put together by someone and you can tell it's got a bit of DIY behind it, people connect with that and people feel like they're actually seeing a person for who they are. They feel like they're not this perfectly polished brand that is feeding you something that like a team of 10 people have put together. I think that trend of really wanting to feel like you're really connecting with someone and getting that in kind of all facets of a brand, whether that's photos or copy or even emails that they send you, I think that's a trend that is going to keep progressing, because I don't see us being able to go backwards. I don't think we can go backwards from feeling authentically connected and just go back to how we used to feel, where there was one ideal person or business or clothing, things like that, that everyone aspires to. I think that realness is just, it's so nice and refreshing for us all to see that inclusivity and a bit of imperfection is something that is going to be valued. And some designers might hate me, but like the really obviously polished, well put together designs are still super valuable and still necessary for really big brands. But when we're talking to entrepreneurs, I just really think that there's something to pay attention to, and to really just give yourself the permission to try is just being truly you and letting that show in whatever design or content you're creating. And that's kind of the trend I would personally stick behind.
I love that. And I feel like, one, it's beautiful because it's real. And two, isn't it so nice that we just have like permission to be ourselves and to infuse that into our brands? I feel like it sort of takes the pressure off a little bit, especially in the early days, because oftentimes I think it can be easy to look at these bigger brands or look at somebody that's 10 steps ahead of you who probably has like a graphic designer on retainer or maybe on their team who is creating all these beautiful templates for them and everything looks perfect. And to think that because you're seeing that, that's what your audience wants. And I feel like that's not always the case. Like I feel like, not to say that design doesn't matter, because I think it does, but I think infusing yourself into that in a very like natural way is what people respond to best. And it almost gives you permission to try things out without feeling the pressure of needing to be perfect 24/7, which is amazing.
Exactly. And the time that a social media post lives anyways is so short. short. It's like going past so quickly, someone scrolling past so quickly. So why not test things out, be authentic, be imperfect, and get better as you go. And honestly, I'm sure if anyone were really to think about the people or the brands they really connect with most, it probably has something to do with their personality and their, even if it's a brand personality, that you feel the most kind of drawn to.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. Well, I just cannot thank you enough for your time today. You gave us so much great expertise, and I feel like this is one of those episodes that I can't wait to go back and listen to because there were so many tips and tricks in here that I'm like, oh, that was so good. I feel like I need to write that down. So I know everybody is going to want to stalk you online. So where can everybody find you? And Maddie also has a really amazing free resource for you guys that I want her to tell you about because you need to go check it out.
Well, thank you. It's been so fun to chat about all this. So my business is called LaRue Creative, and LaRue might sound like a French word, but it's actually my middle name. So it's spelled L-E-R-U-E. So LaRue Creative on Instagram and on Pinterest. And because it's my middle name, I actually go by MaddieLaRue.com. So that's my website. And Maddie is spelt a little untraditionally. So I'll just spell out my whole website. So it's MaddieLaRue.com. And so search LaRue anywhere and you'll probably be able to find me. And then my freebie. So it's actually a 5-day launch plan. And so kind of like I've talked about, I feel like simplifying is the way to get where you want to go. So I just broke down, if you were to look at launching a website in 5 days, I broke down the simple steps you would need to do that. Again, this is looking at getting a simple, clear, strategic site off the ground. If you're DIYing, you don't want to put too much on your plate. And so this can help you kind of check off those things, know that somebody who knows how to do this kind of gives you the things you need to make sure you get done. So it's a 5-day launch plan, and you can get that at MaddieLaRue.com/freebie.
Perfect. And we will put a link to that in the show notes along with Maddie's social media handles and her website so that you guys can find her in all the places. And thank you so much. I'm so glad we got to chat, and I can't wait to have you on again.
Thank you. Me too.
I'm over here doing a little happy dance because you just finished another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. Is it just me, or was that filled to the brim with juicy goodness? If you're anything like me and are wanting even more business, marketing, and strategy tips coupled with real life, follow along with us over on Instagram at the Bold Business Podcast. And be sure to check out the show notes for any free resources, links mentioned, or coupon codes and more. And if you loved this episode, will you do me a favor and go ahead and tap that subscribe button and leave us a review? Until next time, and remember, let's be bold together.